This episode of the podcast is all about the pelvic floor, or as we've been calling it on the episode, the pelvic trampoline. Listen in to find out why my guest, Marie Camus, prefers this imagery to give a more accurate representation of what this area of our body is really all about. Marie talked a lot about what can happen to the pelvic floor, or trampoline, through the pregnancy as well as after birth. She also explained why having a checkup with a physiotherapist can be so important and where to find one here in Finland. We briefly touched on the Kegels, which is what so many of us equate with pelvic floor health, but by listening to this episode, you will find out how there is so much more to it than just that. Mari offers such a holistic perspective and approach about pelvic floor health, which I think is what I valued most about her work and way of thinking. You can see that come through especially when she talks about some of the red lines to pay attention to as a new or expecting mom. And now let's get into our episode with Mari. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Just before this episode starts, I want to offer something really exciting. If you're listening to this and you're pregnant, then this one is especially for you. Maybe you've been busy thinking about your birth plan, and what about a postpartum plan? Well, I have just the thing for you. Prepped for Postpartum ebook, a guide for expecting parents on how to thrive in the postpartum. A comprehensive and practical 5-chapter guide covering the most important and helpful things I give my one-on-one clients. In every chapter, you will have the opportunity to take my knowledge and apply it specifically to you and your family using interactive questions and invitations for action. With easy-to-use checklists, I have made sure you will not miss any important action point needed to put theory into action and turn your postpartum into a positive and empowering experience. You can now visit motherstransition.com to get your very own copy and use the code PODCAST15 at checkout to receive a 15% discount. And now, let's get back to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast. This episode is going to be all about the pelvic floor and recovery after birth and in pregnancy as well, what happens to us in that area, getting to know that area of our body a little bit better. And the one who will be talking to us today is Marie Camus, and she is a pelvic floor physiotherapist. And I'm just going to say hi, and I'd like you to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, Danielle, and thank you so much for the invitation to this podcast and to talk about my passion, yes. The pelvic floor of women's health. And I'm a physical therapist. I graduated in 2013, and in 2015, I started to do full-time pelvic floor physical therapy, and I treat women, the problems of pelvic floor of women and men. And then during COVID, I started to become a sexual counselor. And so I'm that also. It's pretty important when talking about pelvic floor. And then currently I'm studying the Tampere University of Applied Sciences and making my master's degree in social services and healthcare, and the focus is on the multidisciplinary rehabilitation, what I think is important. And when we think about women, I think it's really important that we are many different kind of professionals working for the benefit of women.
You mean sort of as a team?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. To tackle it from different angles.
Yeah. Yeah. I work with them, especially with the gynecologists and urologists. And then there's a lot of, I think mainly because I work in the private sector, in the capital area, in Espoo and Helsinki, in Terveystalo Aava, and then it is Femeda, a private gynecological center. So it's usually the doctors who refer the patients to me. So they have been checked already by doctor before they come to see me. And or if not, then I usually, when I discuss with the mother, I ask them when have they seen, for example, gynecologist, or when was the last checkup. So that's maybe refer to see one.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
Yes.
And I loved how you were speaking about the sexological work or sex therapy, as you mentioned, which is, as you said, it's so connected. And I think especially in the life of a new mother, understanding your body again, understanding that part of yourself again is deeply connected with our pelvic floor or pelvic hammock or pelvic area, as we want to call it. So that's a really great thing that you have that knowledge. I actually didn't know that about you. So that's wonderful to know that you also have those tools to work with patients.
Yeah, yesterday I had a full day. I was teaching sexual counselors for the whole day about the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's also one thing I do, some teaching of the healthcare professionals.
That's fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you for that intro. Let's maybe move into the first kind of thing we wanted to touch on, which is what actually happens to a woman's pelvic floor, pelvic hammock, because that's also an interesting conversation. Why do we call it a floor when it isn't? It's not hard as a floor. It's not straight as a floor. It's so much more bouncy and flexible. So it's like more like a hammock, actually, right?
Yeah, I would. That's a really actually a good one. I would, if I could find a new word for it, pelvic floor, I think I would call it a pelvic trampoline.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I think because you know it kind of relaxes. For example, when we walk or run, so it kind of like relaxes, contracts. So there is this constant movement. Or when we breathe, when we inhale, it usually relaxes, goes lower the pelvic floor because it goes with the diaphragm. When we exhale, the diaphragm lifts and the pelvic floor lifts. So it's actually it's working all the time. Silently, but so I think it's like a trampoline.
Yeah, because the word floor really doesn't help us imagine, and I think it's an area of our body that we are kind of disconnected from, and so hard to imagine how it even looks like or what's in there. And so when we use words that help us to imagine it, I think that's more beneficial. So maybe we call it the pelvic trampoline on this episode.
Ah, that's a good one. I like that. Pelvic
trampoline. Let's do that.
I'm going to suggest that.
So my question to you is, what happens to our pelvic trampoline in pregnancy and after birth?
Oh, yeah. That a lot. I think a lot. Many things affect the pelvic trampoline during the pregnancy when it's a really, I think it's a really hormonal hurricane in the body. The pregnancy and the pregnancy hormones, and like everyone who has been pregnant knows how it, you know, it's just, you know, you are like, what's happening to me, to my mind, what's happening, why do I react like this, why do I feel like this, and the body is changing, and it's like, whoa, who am I? And the pelvic floor, of course, that what it does, you know, the hormones, usually they relax it, and of course they make there's more blood flow in the pelvic floor, and then when the uterus is growing and the baby is growing, there's more load to the pelvic floor. So it's kind of the pelvic trampoline has it has an important work, you know, to carry the baby and then of course support the bladder and also the rectum and keep us continent, so
we don't leak.
Not to leak, because actually during the last trimester, there's a research done that was already in 2003, but 48% of women who are pregnant for the first time, they have urinary leakage during the last trimester. And then if you have given already birth, your second, third, fourth, so forth, or 85% of women have urinary incontinence. And that's, of course, due to if you have multiple births, then also there can happen damage and stretching to the tissues.
Does this high percentage make it like, I mean, it's common, but does it mean it's normal? Like, is it something that can be treated? But when people are not, or they're looking at it as something that, oh, that's just normal after you give birth.
Really good. That's really good. It's the word common is better than normal, because of course with some people it's like, well, it's normal. So it's kind of like, okay, that's how it is. And I might not have to do anything about it, but no, it's common. And we know it's common, but we know according to research that if you do pelvic floor exercises during the pregnancy, it reduces the appearance of urinary incontinence during the pregnancy and also after, and especially after. So it's really good to during the pregnancy to start to find the pelvic floor muscles, around the vagina, urethra, and the anus, back and front, finding the, yes, the muscles.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, of course, after the pregnancy, if it is a vaginal birth, it stretches the front part a lot. So we know that it over 50%, there is some research that show that there is 80% of in the vaginal birth, there's some kind of, let's say, injury. Most of them, they just heal. It's amazing. Pelvic trampoline is really amazing how it heals. That it's a magical place. But damage can happen. So it's on the nerves, on the tissues, the connective tissues and the muscles. So that's also quite common.
And is it then common for women in the weeks after birth, like to have this urinary incontinence, or to feel like they trying to squeeze their pelvic trampoline or pelvic muscles and they just can't do it? I remember that feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
Like in the days after, I'm like, oh my gosh, this feels so weird. And then slowly I regained, feeling there again.
Yeah, and it's common when you think that the blood flow and how much when the baby is growing and the blood flow, and I think it was some research, if I remember correctly, the volume of like blood can increase with like a couple liters. So there and in the pelvic floor there's a lot of blood flow and stuff, and after the birth there can be swelling, and of course the swelling makes it also, it's much more difficult to find the muscles and get the feeling down there. And of course if the vaginal birth, and there's been a long final, you've been pushing for a long time and stuff, so it's everything just feels down and heavy and numb, and so which is really good to, for example, after the birth, you lay down on your back and bend your knees and put something under your pelvis, lift it a bit up, get the pressure away, and then gently thinking. I think a really good image to try to find the pelvic floor muscles is to, for example, to bring those labias together, or like in Canada they say that close the curtains. So I think that's really good. Or like hold your pee, or at the same time to with your own mouth to close your mouth, like the same way as thinking about the sphincters around the vagina and the urethra. But yeah, it's hard. And then after the pregnancy, many women say that, oh my gosh, I just like the pee just came. I got up and it just came, you know. So it's like, and it can be really scary, but it's quite common, and thinking that the changes what happened, but it gets better. It gets better over the time when the healing process goes on, and the extra fluid goes out of the body, and it slowly starts to normalize. But it's really good to start to after the it days 1-2 days after the birth to try like gentle squeezes of the pelvic floor using cold, things like that.
You mentioned a vaginal birth. Can you add a little bit about how it might look same or different if it isn't a vaginal birth, like a cesarean birth, for example? Because I think that's also a misconception that we have, that if you gave birth in a cesarean birth, then your pelvic muscles should be fine, or why am I still leaking, or, you know, that. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good point. Even if you have had a C-section, anyway, the pregnancy is the one that really gives. It's a long time, and it brings a lot of pressure to the pelvic floor. So
there's weight on the trampoline.
There is weight on the trampoline. Yeah, exactly. And even there wouldn't be like injuries as such to the pelvic floor muscles and stuff, or tearing. Anyway, it might be difficult to find the pelvic floor muscles and stuff, and then there can be a tightness in the pelvic floor muscles too. That is something that I don't think we really talk about it, that it can be actually surprising. I just read, was it yesterday, a research where they were saying that C-section mothers can have more, you know, they can have, for example, dyspareunia, you know, meaning that, and it means that a painful pain during the sex, or pain during the intercourse. So that can be, that can happen. And of course, when talking about the dyspareunia, you know, if there is tearing or episiotomy done to the pelvic floor muscles, then it's more likely to have pain during sex and intercourse, especially during the first times.
Yes. So if a cesarean birth has happened, it is still recommended to take a look at your pelvic muscles and heal that pelvic trampoline, even though it wasn't a vaginal birth necessarily. And I suppose it also depends on when the cesarean occurred, because if there was some kind of descent of the baby and then there was a cesarean, then that can also look different than if the cesarean was planned and there was no contractions, for example. I suppose it can have a different effect. But as you said, the pregnancy is still having an effect on that trampoline muscles. So still valid to talk about your pelvic muscles health and healing, even if you've had a cesarean birth.
Yeah, definitely. And it's quite... Women many times they say that I have it's funny, I have lost a connection there. I've lost the connection, and I'm not really sure what I'm doing something, but I'm really not sure am I doing the right things. Because there's many layers of, there's three layers of muscles, over 10 muscles. But it's really common, no matter how you gave birth, to have a little bit like, what's happening down there?
Yeah.
And then what we know, according to research again, that when, if there's somebody who shows you, or you go to an individual checkup, and somebody really checks and tells you how, and shows you how you're doing them with, for example, with the EMG, this kind of this probe that is put into the vagina, and using that, or for example, ultrasound or other ways to show you how it works. It gives you also confidence to start to do them and do them the right way.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll talk about that later, like to do it the right way and how to do them, because I think we all have in our head this Kegels, which are just like, when people think of the pelvic floor, they think, I think, of Kegels. The idea that, and soon we'll get into this, like what exactly happens at an appointment with you, for example, then you understand how personal it can be and how tailored it is for each one's situation, so that if you think just Kegels, it can be a little bit limiting to what your body needs. Move into that then? Tell us a little bit about what a pelvic floor physiotherapist does, and sort of what are the tools, what happens at a visit.
Many times moms ask, by the way, that when would I see a physical therapist? Like, when is a good time for me to come? I think that the quite common time is between, well, starting maybe from 2 weeks, but maybe most commonly around 1 to 2 months. Maybe I think the most of the people come around 2 months. But I think
postpartum. That there is not,
yeah, postpartum. Sorry. Yes. Exactly. And during the pregnancy, of course, if there's some aches during the pelvis area, or problems to, you know, you have ache when walking or sitting or turning, or feeling of back pain or any other problems, it's good to go see a physical therapist, or a physical therapist that is specialized in women's health. But thinking about after birth, if you feel like, hey, I really, if you start to do the pelvic floor muscles and you're like, well, I really, really don't catch it right now, how to do it. But during the visit, of course, I use time for the interview. So asking, you know, of course, how you're doing, how you're sleeping, how you're eating, how is your mood, any feelings of depression, for example, or baby blues, and how did the birth go, to kind of, and also to find out, of course, was it a vaginal birth or C-section, how did it go, was there any tearing to the pelvic floor muscles, episiotomy done, and how did the wounds, either C-section or if there was wounds, tearing in the pelvic floor, how did the healing happen, and is there now pain in the pelvic area, or pain during sex? Is there leakage of urine, air, or how do we say feces? Poop. I say poop. Yeah. That is. Yeah. Exactly. And those are the most. And then if goes, are you if it's breastfeeding, then I love when the babies come to my practice. I love them. I'm a social worker from my first profession. And I've been working in the daycares and stuff. And I love when people come, when women come with their babies. Or
bring
even
your babies
with
to mother.
Yeah, with the babies or with the kids. Sometimes I have many kids in here. I love it. So that's good, because then we can check, for example, how does the mother carry the baby? Because if there's like, when I carry my baby, I get aches here and there. So we look how the mother carries the baby, because it's really, you feel like marionette, this kind of like, you don't really know where your abs are. It can be really, the body feels might feel strange. So we go through that, like how is the mom carrying the baby, the posture, the breathing. Then I do tests how does the pelvic area, does it, where do we need more support, you know, in the abdominal area, pelvic area. We check that. We check the actually we check just from head to toe how the things are. And then it goes, I always ask the mom, what do you want to know? What do we check? And pelvic floor, for example, we can check it in many ways, and nothing is like, for example, internal checkup is not necessary. And the mom has the right. I always say to the mothers that you are the queen here. So you decide, you know, and you have the every right at any point to say that, okay, no, this is not, I don't feel comfortable with this or that. Usually I check with, I work with ultrasound. So real time ultrasound. So we can put the ultrasound on top of the belly, you know, so we can see the bladder movement and the contraction of the muscles. We can do it transperineal also in laying down or in standing. And I might, if it's okay, I check a bit, you know, the muscles in the pelvic floor. How do they contract? How do they relax? How does the mother find them? If it's okay, or if the mom wants, we can check, you know, the possible scarring. How is it tight? Is there tightness? I give them instructions how to do it, or I can treat them. And then also seeing how the different muscles in the pelvic floor are activated. And how do they activate? What is the level of the strength and what kind of things should be done? Also, I check the abdominal area with the ultrasound. And usually that's what the pelvic floor physical therapists check also, how it is, how has that recovered? What's the strength and how are the different muscles working in the abdominal area? So mm-hmm. It's actually quite many things. Mm-hmm. And then I use the EMG. What I already said, that the probe, little probe that is put to vagina or then to the anus, and then it's connected to a little machine where we can see how the pelvic floor mm-hmm. relaxes and contracts.
Yeah.
So those are maybe the main things.
Yeah. And then what does the mother leave with? Do you give exercises then following your interview and sort of diagnosis, or does she leave just feeling, having more information about her body? What does she kind of get from the visit?
Yeah, it really depends. Many people, they just want to know, where am I going? How is it going? Many people also say, what can I do? I always give some exercises. We talk about it, we wrap up, and exercises or things we go together. The things that would be important to do during the everyday life or concentrate on, is it the posture or stretching or mobility or strengthening? I don't like to give too many exercises because at least myself, I'm also so lazy person that I would, I mean, maybe it's that. And then I know as I have twins, so they are already teenagers, but that I was like, oh my gosh, that baby time, like I didn't have extra time or stuff to do like long exercises.
So Thank you for acknowledging that, because that's something I say, I love physiotherapists, but I hate them too because they give me homework.
Who wants to do those exercises of like physical therapists? They are boring. That's what I say.
Like, I want to come to the treatment and be treated. I don't want to go home and do homework, but I understand that it's a process. But I'm happy. Like, I love that you're acknowledging that on the show.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I'm the same way. I just want to go and I want to be treated. And then many moms, when I ask, like, what is your wish from this time, is they're like, fix me. I'm like, all right, I'll fix you. Okay, let me take my magical wand.
Yeah, exactly.
But not too many. Definitely. And it depends on how tired you are, how is the sleep, how is your mood. Really have to think about, and that's why it's important to discuss in the beginning, like, how are you doing at the moment? What is it? What are the strengths at the moment to do? So definitely maybe 3-4 at max, maybe some one thing. We try to make it so that we can get many flies at the same time. We just take one exercise or stuff.
But and in really a way, depends. if you give one thing or two things, then you know that she's actually going to do it. And then you might actually see progress, rather than if you give so many things and then, you know, the mom doesn't want to do it at all, and so nothing gets done. I think it's better something small rather than overwhelming her with things and then she doesn't do anything, right? And then there's no progress.
Yeah, because it's so overwhelming anyway. You have a new member in the family and you try to get to know the new member and understand its needs. And there's so many things happening. So I really definitely don't want to load the mothers more. Yeah. Like the aim, I think, is that I want the mother feel better. So if I think like, oh, I'm going to be a good physical therapist, I give her like a lot of exercises. No. And I'm here for the mother, you know, I'm there to try to support the mother's well-being.
Yeah. Do you then, in that case, also recommend some kind of follow-ups? Because in one session, we're looking at the current situation and giving some exercises maybe for the current situation. Would it be then worthwhile to come again a few months later and check progress and give new exercises?
Yes. That's the aim. When we think about, for example, if we talk about the pelvic trampoline, strengthening the pelvic trampoline takes from 3 to 6 months in average. And usually it's really good to do, or the abdominal area, because that has also weakened and stretched. It's really good to change the exercises in average from 2 to 4 weeks, and then to progress and they get more advanced. And for example, in the beginning, if it's hard to find the muscles, you have to find the muscles before you can strengthen them. So in the beginning, it might be that you do this, just like trying to find in the position you find them, and with the image you find, it's helpful for you. You do many times a day, they short periods of time. And that could be, for example, the only and the one thing I give home. And then when they start to find the muscles, then we start to think about, you know, adding some more strength to it and the holds and things like that. But it really has to go gradually. So I recommend usually that then, and it depends, of course, the life and everything, but it's good to do it progressively and then have the checkups.
Yeah. You mentioned about the abdominal area, and that reminded me that you also work with the diastasis recti.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, because maybe for some people it feels like different areas of the body, but I just want to mention that even though it's not in the vagina, you also work with that, right? It's the when the abdominal wall separates.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes when we talk about pelvic floor physical therapies, it makes you imagine that, okay, Jade, just look at the vagina. But definitely, I like I said in the beginning, I check from head to toe. I check from head to toe, and definitely many times we have to work on the pelvic floor and the abdominal area together. What is good news that when you do pelvic floor or muscle exercises, usually it already activates the deeper abdominal muscle, the transversus abdominis. So then you get two things done already at the same time. And to stretch it, because that also stretches and weakens. So, but definitely, yeah, I check the diastasis, I check the what kind of exercises could be done. And many times we can see that, for example, it really gets, you get a better contraction in your pelvic floor when you take, add up some other parts. Of course, it's important to find the pelvic floor muscles, but then when you find them, start to add up also the contraction. So for example, gentle contraction of the abdominal area. Of course, not too much and not pushing down, but none of the muscles work on their own. They always work together, like in an orchestra. So definitely, I check the abdominal area.
Yeah. I think maybe let's move to the next bit we wanted to talk about, which is about finding physiotherapist pelvic floors. pelvic floor physiotherapists in Finland. on both kind of the public side and the private side. And then we wanted to also bring into this conversation, intuition and trusting oneself when navigating the system. Could you speak about that a bit?
Yeah. In Finland, I don't know, like when you think about some other countries and might not be so common, you know, for the patient or the client to speak up and kind of demand things. But I think in Finland, that's allowed and it's possible. And you can say at the in Neuvola, it's the mother and child health clinic. Is it that in English?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Or to the doctor to talk about your problems and say that, hey, I have a feeling that, hey, something is not okay. And many times the moms say, like, I just have this weird feeling that, or they cannot really grasp it, but they're like, everything is not okay, or I don't feel fine, or I feel like I'm not sure if I find the muscles and stuff. And usually then when we check, it's exactly like the mom thinks, that there is maybe some difficulty. So it's really important that, and you can talk about it that when you go with the baby and talk about it, or visit to the doctor to say, talk about it, and make, for example, ask in, like, could I please have a referral to see a physical therapist, a pelvic floor physical therapist. I know that in the public sector, they can refer, the doctors can refer you to the public side. There might be physical therapists or physical therapists that are specialized in women's health. That would be, I would ask that, hey, can you refer to me, or is there in this public sector, in this place where you are, is there a pelvic floor physical therapist? Or then also this, we are quite many pelvic floor physical therapist working in the private sector. And there, I think two places where you can find them is, you know, through our associations or the, like the pelvic floor physical therapist, we belong to this Pelvicus. And if you put on the Google pelvicus.fi, so it's PELVICUS.
And I will also add the link. I will also add the link. I can make the link for the show notes so people can
perfect. Yeah.
Find it easily.
Yeah, so there you can find the pelvic floor physical therapists around Finland in different cities. But
those are the private ones?
Yeah, there's private, and there's also in the ones that are work, some of them have also marked if they work in the
public side.
In the public, yeah. And of course then, yeah, in the public, sorry, I go back to the public also in the all, each hospital there is a pelvic floor physical therapist. And usually they, many moms might, but I wouldn't say maybe many moms, but moms might see a pelvic floor physical therapist already in the hospital. And also there you can demand, when you have given birth and you are at the hospital, you can say that, hey, or if there is something really like that you really want to make a question about your pelvic floor functioning, and if the midwives, for example, are not able to answer, you can ask that, hey, would it be possible to have a pelvic floor physical therapist to come have a visit? And many times they come if there's, for example, a third or fourth degree tearing, so meaning that it has been in a vaginal birth, you have gotten a rupture, you know, towards the anus and the sphincter area. So they might visit you. And also if there is this kind of, let's say, severe problems or damage done, then you can have a referral to the hospital to see a pelvic floor physical therapist in the hospital, in the special care. And but then in the private sector, so the pelvicus.fi, and then äitiysfysioterapeutit, so maternity physical therapist, That's another associations that are specialized in pregnancy and afterbirth physical therapy. And also on their site, you have the list of the physical therapists and with the towns. I tried to look for my phone and I was thinking, I didn't see if it would be in English over there. So that's one thing I started to, you know, wonder. But on those sites in this, there is the list of all of them. And they have their also their phone numbers or addresses and stuff.
That's wonderful. Well, that's a good place to find other people.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else to add about this? Navigating the system and then feeling confident and asking for what you need. I think from my experience, I can add that what I've been hearing a lot is when you have a challenge, it's important to keep nagging, especially when you're in the public sector, to keep nagging and saying like, hey, this doesn't feel normal. And sometimes you'll hear, yeah, but that's fine. That's how it is. And saying, no, I really want a referral. I believe I need a referral. Can you please refer me? Like just to keep asking and to know what you can be referred to. That's another thing I found in the system here, that it's things aren't just offered to you. If you don't know about them and don't ask about them, sometimes they're not offered. So definitely strengthening your comment on that from my side as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. If you don't feel that something, if you just have this gut feeling that, hey, no, this is not normal, I'm not getting, and it just keeps bugging you and comes to your mind, just like, usually I trust the women, you know, like I mean, like moms and women, they are the best, they know their body. They know their body that, hey, if there's something is off. So I would definitely keep asking. I said like, please, please, this is really a concern to me, that please hear me out, that this is really bothering, this is affecting me mentally, physically, and I really, really, really would like to get some more light to this, that please refer me to. So I really like, don't stay alone. Don't stay alone with your thoughts and stuff. Yeah. Because it's really definitely after the pregnancy and a birth, it's important. The body feels so like new that it's really good to go see it with somebody else to say that, hey, okay, let's feel together, or let's look at this together, that what's going on. So then you can go forward.
Yeah, super important. Strengthening mom's intuition and confidence. I'm a big believer in that too, and I'm glad you are as well.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the red flags. So what are some things that can really suggest to a new mom or a pregnant person, like, hey, this is a good time to, besides your intuition, as we spoke, in terms of the physical side of it or the mental side of it, what are some things that are red flags for you?
Good that you said the physical and the mind. We know that especially during the pregnancy, the mind and some, you know, even, you know, I think it's also the hormonal changes have a big effect on it. But, you know, if you feel down, if you feel moodless, or you can feel that, hey, this is not really me, I don't really usually or have moodless feeling or sad feeling, just down, definitely talk about it. Don't stay alone with that. Talk about it in the maternity health clinic and open up about it and say that, hey, I really need that. I would like to have, for example, discussion, help to discuss. You can talk with at the maternity health clinic with the nurse, or can have even a referral. Ask for a psychologist. That's one good thing, actually. Yeah, that to talk about to, and they have also the specialized on that, you know, therapists and psychologists in the private sector too. But definitely it's the maternity health clinic is the first place to open up and say that, hey, I don't feel okay, I don't feel happy and stuff. Definitely to talk about it. And then if we think about the physical part, definitely, of course, you know, the really red flags, you know, you have vaginal bleeding or convulsions or severe headaches or blurred visions or really fever, severe abdominal pain or difficulties really like breathing, or these kind of like a really, these would be the red flags, I think, that are not, you know, anyway, these are not really common, you know, but this can happen, of course, but if it's really, really, really red flags, of course, then it would be, I would seek medical care right away, either to the hospital or if the healthcare centers are open, so to contact them, but definitely hospitals are always open. So this would be just, you know, the big red flags and stuff. But definitely, definitely the same things during the pregnancy and after pregnancy or after the birth, or if the, also if the wound seems that, hey, the wound either in the pelvic floor area or the C-section scar wound starts to, it's hot and red or leaking fluids or definitely if it's yellow and stuff. So then definitely to seek medical care and of course if there's again fever and really abdominal pain that is really kind of not just like a small abdominal pain but really 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 bothering and or if there happens a lot of swelling suddenly in your body, this would be, these definitely would be the really red flags, like to try to find medical care immediately or as soon as possible. Did I answer the question?
Yes, absolutely. And also in terms of the pelvic floor, like as we spoke about, like leakage and stuff like that, or also red flags for coming to you. Is there anything you would add about that?
Ooh, yeah, then... Okay, and then think about, to come into the physical therapist then, yes. If there, urinary leakage or the air, like it's difficult to hold air, or the feces, it's difficult. Those I would talk about it already at the, you know, at the healthcare center about them, but then... Those are the things that why women come to see a physical therapist, or they have like a heavy feeling in the pelvic floor, or bulging feeling, or the difficulties to, I feel like, hey, I cannot really empty my bladder. I can't empty my bladder, or I feel like when I go pee, then I just have to go soon again, or have the peeing feeling all the time. Ooh. Now that one also, that if you have like the feeling of peeing, to check that there's no urinary urinary infection, then it would be definitely to as soon as possible to contact the healthcare center to rule out that they take the pee-pee test, so that there is no infection. So that would be
We didn't talk about prolapse at all.
Yeah,
you prolapse, want to mention the word that's maybe the heaviness that you're mentioning. Yes, bulging.
Yes, or people say that I feel like the tampon is really low, and when I walk, and when the longer I walk, or towards the evening, I just feel the tampon, or I feel like there's an egg, or then some women say that I feel it when I wipe, when I go to the bathroom and I wipe, I feel something. And this is definitely, these we can check. The one thing we have to remember, that physical therapists cannot diagnose, for example, that you have a prolapse. We are not allowed. Those are the doctors who have to do that. So then if the mom comes to see me first, for example, then I usually refer to go to doctor. But of course we see and I say, hey, how it looks. And we look with the ultrasound and stuff. But then the real diagnosis is done by the doctor. So those are the, and then the feeling that I cannot find my muscles, or
And if I go back to the prolapse, what are the organs that can prolapse? We have bladder.
Yeah, bladder. And uterus. And rectum.
So all
those are the most common.
Basically. Sorry. The whole area. Everything can prolapse.
Yes. Yeah.
And that means that it just drops down.
Yeah. Yeah, it drops down. But this is what is really important to remember that, and I think it's really comforting, that it's amazing how the body works. Even if you would have like these feelings, there was one gynecologist who said that don't talk about prolapse during the first year after birth.
Because?
She means that, but what she means by that, she means that it recovers. But there can be, and it doesn't mean that there is no prolapse, but yes, but it recovers. It's amazing how we can still, the tissues, when they start to get more firm and when we concentrate on a good posture and lifting and all many things and make sure that we don't have to push when we go to the bathroom and we keep the stool really soft and these, there's many things that can help it and get better. So it doesn't mean like, okay, now I have a prolapse and that's it. So that it really, there happens recovery on that too. But women come with these symptoms and then we see like what are the really the good things that we help to recover and we help, you know, the possible prolapse to kind of to lift, to get supported, the organs to get supported.
Yeah. I want to add a question here about this. What correlation do you see in your work or through research regarding the relationship between postpartum rest and recovery, like taking it easy after birth, and how our body and our pelvic muscles are healing and the frequency, or how do you call it, the prevalence of the prolapse?
The prolapse...
Or other pelvic floor issues?
Thinking about, okay, the recovery time and stuff, I really, really recommend that 2-3 months, the first 2-3 months, take it easy. Rest or no these kind of jumping exercises, heavy lifting and stuff. I don't recommend that because there happens so much healing. So much healing in the tissues and with the, there's still the hormonal changes are affecting that we give time. It's like you put money in the bank when you do that. That take it easy.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to that sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes, you can use that. So
putting money in a bank. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
But even I even think we can take it one step further that it isn't just about not jumping and heavy lifting, but even long walks. Hiking, lifting things that are way too heavy for you, like many grocery bags, or going for long, long walks. I mean, things that people would say, oh, that's normal. I did that all the time. But still, in the first month and a half or 2 months, that can be too much on the body.
Yeah. And it can be also, and then one signs that is good to listen, for example, when you do the walking, that if during the walk you start to feel heaviness in the pelvic floor or the tampon feeling, or you have to start like, ooh, I'm leaking urine, or feeling bulging, or then after the walk, you feel fine when you walk, but then the evening or day after, like, ooh, now I feel this bulging and heaviness. That can be also a sign that, yesterday it went
too
far.
That was too much.
Yes, so that reduce, you know, do shorter, try, you know, it's better after the birth, like exactly like you said, that I used to go for really long walks, you know, I used to go 2 hours, now I can go 2 hours. Don't do 2 hours. Start, you know, 15 minutes to half an hour and try how it goes. And then you can add up and see how you feel. But that's a good point. But give time, get to know the baby and just cuddle with the baby and do these kind of nice things and stuff and rest and leave the laundry or ask your mom or mother-in-law or friend to do
your
laundry
village,
and food.
Your postpartum helpers.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's really important. So I'm glad we could bring this in, this conversation, this connection between resting and recovery and the pelvic floor and all of that, because they are, it is connected.
Yeah,
it is all very much connected.
Yeah, and like think that, okay, now when I'm resting, I'm actually healing. I'm taking care of my pelvic floor. I'm taking care of my body and stuff.
But it's actually upside down for a lot of us, because we have this feeling that in order to heal, we have to do exercises. And here we're like, not doing equals healing.
Yeah.
And that's hard for us to accept and understand, because it's kind of backwards from everything we've been taught in our culture. And that's very hard for new moms. As a postpartum doula, I see this a lot, that the not doing, surrendering into the not doing, feels very difficult. It feels unproductive. It feels like a waste of time. It feels uncomfortable. It feels lonely, perhaps, for some moms to be at home. So this relationship we have with productivity. So I love that you said that, that resting is actually taking care of your pelvic muscles.
Yeah.
Because it's a really great way of thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So just invite your friends, you know, to eat, drink. Coffee can be an irritant of a bladder and feeling of the do your
butt. Herbal teas. Herbal teas.
Exactly. Have herbal teas and just talk about, you know, just feel the world and stuff, yeah. And just take it easy. Of course, there's mothers that have been really, you know, active. Their tissues are really firm and they feel really fine. There is these moms that, you know, they can then just that – things just feel really good, and there is things has actually recovered really well and stuff. But still, anyway, I think it's really good to just take it easy. It's not a long time, you know. It's not long time as such.
No, in the span of things.
Yeah,
putting money in. How do you say putting money in the bank?
Putting money in a bank. Yes,
that's so well said. I want to ask for the last thing. We wanted to talk about group activities. Could you mention a little bit about this? We talked about where can people go for group activities for the pelvic muscles. Do you remember?
Yeah. Thinking about, you know, many moms, they say that, hey, I would like to, I feel like, you know, or I would like to do some things. And you, many groups, actually, which also... you know, kind of strengthens, or how would I say that? It is what we were just talking about. Many groups, they don't recommend moms. They ask that you have to have 2 or 3 months postpartum before you can go to the group. They're like, don't come before. It's also a sign that, hey, just rest. But then if women start Pilates or yoga, or so there is this, of course, in the private sector, there is in these places, and I know that there is this, there can be even some cities or communities, you know, I would ask wherever you are, you know, in the maternity child health clinic that, hey, do you know, or is there in this municipality, is there in this public area, is there a physical therapist who keeps this group for mothers who have given birth? And then there is this, what is työväenopisto in English? This is this also they organize all kind of they can also organize postpartum.
Do you have a link about that? Maybe we can add that also to the
If
you do.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, and usually they are healthcare professionals, or, you know, people specialized in sports and women's health also, who are keeping them. And then they have the exercise centers, gyms, like,
yeah,
different, they might have in there when they have the group sports. They have aerobics, yoga, and stuff. They might have this the mother exercises for mothers. And then, of course, when you think about CrossFit, the places where they keep CrossFit, many times they have Mama Wod is one word that they use. Mama Wod, that they have. You can go there with the baby. and or if you go alone, they are, these exercises are changed so that they are suitable for a mom who just is recovering and has just given birth. So those are the places.
What about postnatal yoga?
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Postnatal yoga.
Those are quite common as well.
Yeah. And those are common in this yoga places. Many times they, you can do them. I used to keep this Pilates for in a private place for mothers. And there was also yoga for pregnant women. Those are good.
Yeah, yeah. And usually the postnatal one, you can come with your baby, which is fantastic. Yeah. before they are crawling, but yes.
Oh, that's
then it gets more challenging to do yoga.
But then when I was keeping these Pilates for moms after birth, you know, I used to grab, if it was okay for the mom, I used to have one or two babies with me if they got, you know, and then we changed the exercises. When somebody starts to cry, okay, now we take the babies, now we do this and that. And then when it was nice weather, we took, everybody had their strollers. We did Pilates outside with the strollers during the summer. So we adjusted the exercises and the stuff according
really
to
great.
How the babies are doing.
And what I love about group stuff, which I'm glad we brought up, is that it's a good chance to see you're not alone in a lot of your challenges.
Yeah.
And to meet other moms, which I think is a fantastic and super important part of recovery and of well-being of a new mom, is to find other moms who are in a similar situation and going through similar challenges. There's nothing like it. It's such an integral part of healing and well-being, in my opinion. So it's really important.
And for the mood and for the head and to talk about the what's going in your mind. And I remember once I was coming from work and I see this group of moms. I don't know how many there were. They're with the strollers. I was like, I didn't know who they were, but I said, oh my God, you guys are so cute. Oh, I love this. And I must say that I was so happy. It even just, you know, for an outsider, I became so happy when I saw these moms pushing their, you know, the strollers, their babies, and talking with each other and laughing. And I was happy. They made me happy.
Yeah.
So thank you. You spread the joy.
I'm the same. When I see groups of moms, I'm ecstatic. Because that's what we need. We need each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is there something else you want to add? We're just coming to the end of our episode, but I want to give you the chance to add anything that if you feel like you still want to mention something.
Of course, then when you know after this, I'm going to be like, oh no, that, I forgot that, I forgot that, I forgot that. But just like trust yourself. That I would really like to, to say that, just trust yourself, trust your feelings, open up, talk about it, just, you know, bring it up, seek for help, seek for support, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
There is this saying that as long as the mother feels good, feels fine, the whole family feels good. But it's really important. Just, you know,
we get
sucked into the just taking care of the baby and stuff, but you are important. You are the most important. Don't forget yourself.
You can't give from an empty cup. You know, it's like, I always also like to use this analogy with the airplane, where they say first you put your own mask and then you help others.
Voilà,
you can't help others if you're knocked out.
Exactly. So
first you got to take care of you and then you can take care of your babies.
Yeah.
And your family. So thank you so much for being here and for this last sentence and the wisdom for everything you've mentioned. And I'll also put the links in the show notes to find you in all the different places that you work. But even a simple Google search of your name will bring up everything. So So just really to thank you and for your work and for your holistic viewpoint of treating women. I think it's really wonderful to have a practitioner like you working in this area. And I'm glad people will get to know you through this episode.
Thank you. And thanks to you that you keep this. Think how many people you reach with this and you spread the knowledge. This is exactly, yeah. You are doing such amazing, it's good and important work. And this is,
thank you.
Like we work together. We women, mm-hmm. You know, we get stronger together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But thank you for letting me bubble about the pelvic trampoline.
We had fun jumping around here.
Exactly.
All right. See you soon. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the 3 crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.